Is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1 and reading until verse 24. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to one another and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the peace, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just seek God's face in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would speak to us through your word, and that the words that you speak into our hearts may not be snatched away, but may stay there, that they may burn in our hearts, and bear fruit to your glory and praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, last Sunday, Nigel was speaking to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he was speaking to us about the promise of Jesus' return. The comfort that that promise brings to those of us who have lost ones who are dear to us, who've fallen asleep in Jesus, who've died trusting in the Lord Jesus. We've not lost them. But the day will come when Christ shall return and we will be reunited with all those who've trusted in the Lord Jesus to praise and worship him together. But this same promise of Jesus' return is a promise that he will come as judge. And it's not only a word of comfort, but it's a word of warning. It's a challenge to each one of us. Have we trusted in the Lord Jesus? Are we looking for and longing for the day of his coming? As Nigel put it several times in his sermon, I wasn't here last week, but I listened to it online, and that note rang through, will you be there? Will you be there? Now this morning I want us to look at the following chapter, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in this chapter, Paul is instructing these young Christians at Thessalonica how they should live in the light of these things, in the light of the fact that Jesus is coming back, that he's saved them, he's made them children of light. How should they live? And Paul's words to these young Christians are God's word also to us today, as we live towards the promise of Christ's return. After giving a number of instructions, Paul wraps them up with a kind of rapid-fire series of exhortations, almost like a machine gun going off, as he says to them, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." And we want to say amen, don't we, surely, to that. For Paul is telling us, not only do we need to prepare ourselves for the day of Christ's coming and live in the light of that truth, but that God himself is preparing us for that day. His Spirit is preparing us for that day. And this morning I want to focus just on one of those exhortations. It's quite enough. If I focused on more than that, you'd be here for a very long time, I'm afraid. I want to just focus on this one phrase: do not put out the Spirit's fire. Paul says to these young Thessalonian Christians and to us, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not blunten the axe, if I can pick up that other picture we had earlier. But Paul here describes the Spirit in terms of fire. That might seem a very uncomfortable image to us, because fire is so destructive. Many of you, I'm sure, will have read or heard about Claudia Winkleman's daughter, Matilda, how she was out celebrating Halloween when her party dress caught fire from a candle. And she was engulfed in flames. Fortunately, somebody was there to roll her on the ground and put it out quite quickly. And she's now recovering. But what a frightening image that is. Fire. How quickly it can harm and hurt and destroy. Why then does Paul speak about the Holy Spirit as fire? Well, Paul did not make up this image. He simply used an image that was there already. Do you remember when John the Baptist was talking to the crowds? They'd come to him to be baptized. And he said to them, I can only baptize you in water. But there's one coming, he said, speaking about the Lord Jesus, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. With the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus himself spoke of the same thing. He said that he had come, I have come, he said, to bring fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. Jesus is saying, I've come to bring fire, and I long for it to blaze throughout the earth. And on the day of Pentecost, you remember, when the Holy Spirit fell, he appeared in the form of tongues or flames of fire, which rested on each of the disciples. So we see that the outpoured Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus, the Spirit he pours out upon his people, is like fire. And that fire is poured out in order that Jesus might continue and complete the work for which he came and died and is risen. But it's vital for us to realize that this fire comes not to destroy us. This fire comes to cleanse and purify. Do you remember when Moses saw that strange sight in the desert of a bush that was burning with fire? And what was strange about it was that that fire did not consume, it didn't destroy the bush. And that's why Moses went to look at what it was. For that fire symbolized the presence and holiness and glory of God, who comes not to destroy, but to display his glory and to set on fire. And it's uncomfortable when God comes to us by his Spirit. It's not a comfortable experience when he makes himself known to us in all his holiness and glory. But he comes not to destroy, but to bless. The Thessalonians had known some of this themselves. They knew this experience. It wasn't strange to them when Paul spoke about this. For when Paul had first preached to them, something had happened in their lives. The word had come to them not just as a calm lecture to teach them some new doctrine, but it had come to them in power that changed and transformed them. Paul writes, "Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction." And he says of them, "They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." What made this change in these people? It transformed their lives when Paul preached them. It was the Spirit coming and touching them so that the word burnt within them and they couldn't be the same again. It turned them from being those who worshipped idols to those who were passionate about Christ and serving the living God. It set them on fire, and that fire couldn't be contained within their own lives. It spilt out from them to touch the lives of others. The fire set fire to others. Paul writes, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, their immediate surroundings. Your faith in God," he says, "has become known everywhere." They were so set on fire that everybody was talking about them. And the fire was touching and transforming the lives of others. "Now," says Paul to them, "don't put out the Spirit's fire. Keep that fire burning. Don't grow cold in your love for Christ." And what Paul says to those Thessalonians, said to them 2,000 years ago nearly, God is saying to us this morning, do not put out the Spirit's fire. And that's just as important for us as it was for the Thessalonians. For Christ has come. He died for us, that we might be forgiven and made children of the living God, children of the light. And Christ is risen. He is Lord over all. And all the world should recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the day is coming when every knee will bow to him. But Jesus longs that this fire of the Spirit, this fire that draws people to know and love the living God, might run throughout the earth now. Not just on that last day, but now. As one of our songs puts it, "One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now." We need the fire of the Spirit that we might rejoice in all that God has for us in Christ. that we might be filled with a sense of wonder and praise, that we are children of the living God, destined for glory. We need the cleansing fire of the Spirit to make us more like the Lord Jesus, to prepare us for the day when he will come. And we need the fire of the Spirit to enable us to be living witnesses to those around us, as we've heard from the street pastors today. We need to keep that axe sharp. We need to have fire in our hearts that will fill us with compassion for others and make us want them to know the Lord Jesus, sin forgiven. Make us want to see their lives transformed also. We need that fire. Jesus wants this fire to be kindled and burn throughout the earth. And don't we long for that as we see this world in which we live? Long for the fire of God's Spirit to fall and touch the lives of people throughout the world and transform situations with his power. We need this fire to make us the people God wants us to be. A people who love others and who are concerned for them and for their future. So it's vital that we don't put out the Spirit's fire. But you might say, well, how on earth can anyone put out the Spirit's fire? It's like trying to put out the sun with a fire extinguisher. You can't put out the Spirit's fire. Well, you can't stop the Spirit's work, but you can dampen down his work in your own heart and life by failing to listen to the prompting of the Spirit, by deliberately turning your back on the things that he is saying to you and refusing to walk in the way that he would have you walk. Paul writes to the Galatians, keep in step with the Spirit. It's so easy to drift off and go our own way and live to please ourselves, and to grow cold towards God, to grow cold towards Christ, to grow cold towards his people. We need constantly to be careful that we do not put out the Spirit's fire. William Cooper, in one of his hymns, says this, I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Do we hate those things which drive the Spirit from us and leave us cold towards the living God? Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Be careful how you live. Be filled with devotion for Christ. And instead of being those who put out the Spirit's fire, we need continually to stir up the fire of the Spirit within us. How much do you long for the blazing fire of the Spirit? Long for him to totally possess and captivate you. Long for him to set fire to our district and our country with his glory and his presence, as he has done in times past. How much do you long for God's transforming power to be seen in our society? Think of the day when Christ shall return. That will be a day of fire. It will be a day when the whole of creation is set ablaze with the presence and glory of the living God. And as you look and long for that day, do you not want to see more of that now? Remember how when Jesus spoke with the disciples, two disciples, on the Emmaus Road, they didn't recognize who he was. But they said later on that when he spoke to them and opened the scriptures to them, their hearts burned within them. That same experience was the experience of John Wesley when he went to a meeting where Luther's commentary on Galatians was read. That might seem very dry, but his heart was strangely warmed and he was transformed, And his heart was set alight with love for Christ. And as a result of that, many other lives were set alight with love for Christ. In Kingswood, in Bristol, in Cornwall. Let me conclude with some words from a hymn of Charles Wesley, his brother, whose heart also was set on fire with love for Christ. And can we make these words our prayer this morning? O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love upon the mean altar of my heart. There, let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire and still stir up thy gift in me. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Be on fire for Christ as you look for and long for the day of his appearing.